Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Kanier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. Thank you for joining us this morning. So this coming week, we have Fall Prevention Week coming up. And so on today's show, I have our Way Memorial Hospital Trauma Program Manager, Lou Young. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And we are making this a yearly tradition for you to be on the show.
Yes, we are.
And she's getting less nervous about it, which I'm happy. She expects my phone call 2 weeks prior to us recording this show. So I'm so happy that you're here, talking about falls. But we also, we're going to mention later on in the show, too, a little bit about ATV safety and the nice, beautiful fall weather coming out and seeing more people out there riding ATVs, correct?
Correct. Yes.
So, so one thing that you do in your role as trauma program manager is, help educate the public, but also work in the ED, work with different departments in the hospital, to increase awareness of trauma, making sure we follow our guidelines and all of that stuff, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so Way Memorial Hospital is a level 4 trauma center, correct?
Yes, yes it is.
So tell us a little bit about what that means to our community, how important it is for our community to have this status.
Level 4 trauma center is usually in a rural community, which obviously Honesdale is, and what it does is it helps us be able to treat trauma patients here at home. The purpose of a level 4 trauma center often is to treat and stabilize a patient and prepare them for transfer, but there are also some injured patients that we can keep at our facility. We are associated with the Pennsylvania Trauma Systems Foundation, the PTSF, which does have criteria of what we need to transfer and also what we can keep at our level 4 facility. We may be able to keep some minor head injuries, minor facial or nasal fractures, orthopedic injuries, as long as the circulation to that arm or leg is okay, and maybe just minimal injuries to the chest. As with many things in medicine, nothing is black and white. It's not cut and dry. So what may seem like a minor injury may develop into something a little bit more involved, a little bit more serious, and it may eventually need to be transferred. So we do have transfer agreements with level 1 and level 2 trauma centers, mm-hmm. who have more resources and higher level of care. So we have those resources that we can contact and that we can transfer those patients to. Mostly all of our pediatric trauma patients, we do transfer.
Right.
Because we don't have the pediatric care here in our
correct,
area.
Correct.
And that's especially always, trauma care.
Right. And that's always been the case. And because, trauma is, it's really an unknown when someone comes into the ED with some sort of trauma injury, correct?
That's correct. Yes. We do call trauma alerts on some patients. There are criteria that we follow. The doctors and the nurses have those criteria available to them. And also a lot of things that we take into consideration are the mechanism of injury. There's kinematics is a science. It's a branch of physics that has to do with the motion and the action and what may happen, say a car accident, depending on where the car is struck, or if a person is hit by a car, where on their body they're struck, or with what kind of vehicle, how fast was the vehicle going, whether it be a car crash or pedestrian injury. So all things that we're thinking about when we encounter that patient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We also have the physicians follow ATLS protocol, which is advanced trauma life support, so that the care is systematic for that trauma patient.
Wow. Yeah. So, there is so much involved. And so again, part of your role is you need to make sure all the criteria is followed. All the statistics are kept. The patient gets or, you know, you review that the patient has received the best care, they were transferred when they were needed, they kept when they were needed. So all of that stuff kind of you have to track, right?
That's a very big part of my job.
Right.
And one of the things that I didn't mention about the level four trauma centers is when we can keep those patients here, it's nice to be able to keep them in the community,
right,
so that the families don't have to travel so mm-hmm. far mm-hmm. to see their loved one. And it also helps free up the beds at the level one and two trauma centers so that for the more severely injured patients.
Right. So definitely it's nice. A benefit to our community.
Yes.
So, you know, speaking of overall traumatic injuries or traumas, what's the leading cause, which probably has been for many, many years?
It has, as long as I've been tracking the injuries, it's been falls. Last year we said 72.9% of the injuries that we saw were falls, and we continue to see that falls is the most the number one reason for injury that,
right,
that comes here, and that coincides with the national statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Population is aging. The older we get, medicines, vision, things like that, the more likely we are to fall. And plus, when we do fall, we may be more severely injured,
right,
than the younger person. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. As we all age, you know, falling is definitely more traumatic than, you know, someone who may be younger and more agile and, you know, can handle that fall.
Correct.
But any fall can be serious enough to lead to traumatic injuries or,
yes,
even death at times.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and as I said before, what may seem minor could end up to be more severe. Head injuries, for example, may seem like just a simple bump on the head, but as time goes by, that person begins to exhibit some signs, a little bit of confusion, a severe headache, some nausea, some vomiting. A head injury can be like a bruise where it just starts out as a little bruise, but then kind of blossoms.
Mm.
So then we may need to go to a higher level of care.
Right,
at
right.
that point.
And all of these things, so, you know, you talked about some symptoms like headaches, nausea, and vomiting. So if someone did have a fall at home, did not seek medical attention, but are experiencing some of those symptoms, should they come to the emergency room?
Either come to the emergency room if there's a concern, or call the family physician,
mm-hmm,
or an urgent care even. And especially with kids. Kids are sometimes hard to read, but parents know, caregivers know that child the best, and if they start to see a change in the behavior or things like that, anything that concerns them, contact,
right,
some medical personnel, whether it be the family physician or the emergency room.
Right, right. And you know, a lot of falls happen in the house also, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
So yeah. Any helpful hints for our listeners, like with animals or rugs and things like that?
Watch out for the puppies, yes. Yeah, watch out for the puppies. And some of these things we mentioned last year, but they're worth repeating. Throw rugs can trip up many people, especially people who use canes or walkers. So either get rid of those rugs or tape them down. One of the first things kind of goes back to prevention. Realize that you may be at a higher risk of,
mm-hmm,
of falling. Some of the medicines that you're on may cause dizziness, may cause your blood pressure to drop. So that's the first step, is realizing.
Right.
Talk to your doctor about the medicines. You know, if you experience some dizziness or even some confusion after a certain time after taking some medicines. Change position slowly if you know that happens. Don't get right up from the chair and take off to go walking. Stand there and get your bearings. Just plain walking is good exercise because you want to maintain that muscle strength.
Right.
So if you do trip and fall, you have your balance. You have that muscle strength. Wear a good pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Very supportive. Flip-flops, they come off. You get twisted in them. Sometimes it doesn't work. It doesn't end so well.
Yes, I know that because I usually not using those flip-flops that you slip your shoes into. I like the ones now that strap around my ankle. A little bit more security there.
I have to have my shoes tied.
Me too. Me too.
So. Keeping things off the steps.
Oh,
going
yes.
up and down the steps. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. If there's things that you can't reach, don't climb on the counters. Guilty of that. Use a step stool.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the areas well lighted. In your bedroom, keep a lamp by your bed. Use night lights in the hallways
mm-hmm.
when you get
mm-hmm.
up to go to the bathroom at night. Try not to use extension cords. If you do, make sure they're taped down or they're not where in an area where you're walking.
Right.
So and stuff in the bathroom, grab bars.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that.
Especially in a wet bathtub, you know.
Yeah, non-slip mats.
Mm-hmm. In your bathtub and,
yes.
and your bathroom
and
stuff
the bathroom
like that.
Itself, yep.
Wow. So I think those hints that you gave us or you know, tips are really important to anyone who's listening today, which is so important. So, you know, I want to also, you know, come back to the trauma part and, you know, the second one. Leading causes, motor vehicle crashes, including any motorized vehicles, i.e. ATVs.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. We have seen quite a few ATV accidents this year, also motor vehicle crashes, but the thing that has concerned me is the ATV crashes, and also ATV crashes involving children less than 16 years of age. And what's even more concerning to me is the fact that 67% of the children that we saw weren't wearing a helmet. A helmet isn't going to prevent an accident, but it can possibly lessen the effects of
right.
of that accident if it occurs. That was only in 2 months out of this past year, and we continue to collect the numbers, and we continue to see
more
riders not wearing helmets.
Right.
Big concern.
Right, and it's really, really important because it does protect, you know, the head, and that's what they're designed to do, is absorb that shock when something happens. So, you know, we're almost out of time, but, you know, you do have some what we call golden rules of ATV that I was hoping that you could share with our listeners. Can you do that? Because we probably may come back and revisit, you know, ATVs in the long run because it's coming the fall. People want to go out there and ride
yes.
them.
Yes.
So what are some safety rules that you can share just basic with our listeners today?
When I was preparing for our talk, I did find the ATV Safety Institute. So I'm not a member. I just happened to find them as I was gathering information and stuff. But they do have 8 golden rules for ATV safety. And surprisingly enough, the number one golden rule is to wear goggles, long sleeves, long pants, over the ankle boots and gloves, and a Department of Transportation compliant helmet.
Mm-hmm.
So... other ones, never ride on paved roads except where you can cross legally. They're only meant to be operated on off-road.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ride under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Don't carry a passenger on a single rider ATV or more passengers than what the vehicle is made for. Ride an ATV that's appropriate for your age. I'm not a rider, so I didn't even realize that there was all different sizes. So that should be very important. You don't want something that's going to overpower you.
Mm-hmm.
Riders younger than 16 should be supervised because ATVs are not toys. Ride on designated trails and at safe speeds. And look for an ATV rider course,
mm-hmm.
which I know they used to have them for snowmobilers and things, and they may still.
Right.
So, you know,
yes.
something to... emphasize the safety.
Right, right.
Because it can be an enjoyable activity.
Right, and our goal is to keep our community safe. You
it
know?
Is, yes.
That's why we bring these informational shows out to everyone. And I want to thank you, Lou, for being on the show today with me. I really appreciate it. I thank you for everything that you do, your team does, everyone at Way Memorial Hospital in the emergency department does. It is an amazing place.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Again, So again, this is Carol Knier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager, wishing you a great day, and thank you for listening.